As I've already introduced myself, my name is Margaret Joan Hallett, but I was Margaret Joan Beck at school. I'm the eldest of three younger brothers. We all attended this school until we moved on to higher education. It was always a happy school, very relaxed and very informal. The teachers were of the highest standard, taught us really so much that when I look back today, I think we were more advanced than a lot of the children of certain ages today. I moved on after this school and to the central school in Cromwell Road in Weymouth when I was 11. There again, I thoroughly enjoyed my schooling until I was left school at 14. Then I took several jobs until I decided what I really wanted to do, and I ended up in retail trade, which I again thoroughly enjoyed until the war years when I was in the Women's Land Army in the Timber Corps. I served in Puddle Town in the Forest and also at Wareham on the East Lulworth Estate, which again was very nice but very hard work, very taxing on the hands. I'd never chopped wood before, but I had to learn quickly, and the blisters were not very good. But we persevered and I thoroughly enjoyed it until I got married. And then I moved. We went down into Somerset to live for 2 years. Again, that was quite enjoyable. We moved back here then until after the war we moved back to Weymouth because my parents didn't suffer very good health and I wanted to be near them to be of assistance. I married and lived in Elwell Street. I had a little girl then and we stayed there until she was 6.5 years old because we only had a small cottage and I wanted a bit larger residence. We moved to White Regis. White Regis was very nice, but coming from a village, I didn't really enjoy it very much. It seemed rather remote to me, far away from the town, and there was no village feel about it. Then I moved to Radipole Lane, and there I live today. The years there have been very, very happy. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I had a son after I moved to Radipole Lane, and he is now a hairdresser. He's got his own business in Weymouth. He's married and lives at Redlands with his wife and 2 children, grown up of course and married. So now I'm great granny. There again, very enjoyable thing to be. I've thoroughly enjoyed the children. They keep me young, they keep me up to date, and I'm enjoying life now. I'm 84 and I'm still a very, very happy person, although I've been widowed for 16 years. But I have a wonderful family and that really is all that counts with me. We've got good health and we are happy and we are all in agreement with one another. There's no animosity in the family whatsoever. We're one big happy family. Long may it continue to be so.
What do you remember of your very early life?
My very early life. I can remember here coming to this school. I was 4 when I first came to this school. I was barely 5, between 4 and 5, was in this classroom. And I can remember, funnily enough, the thing that sticks in my mind, on the wall, over on the left-hand side, was a clock, and you moved it to the way to tell the time. And I can remember learning how to tell a clock by what small hand had to be at the top, and then the little hand moved round, long, big hand move round until it got up, and we learned to do all things in between 12 o'clock round to 12 o'clock again, midday and evening. We learned 24-hour clock with this clock. We had to recite it. And I can remember that so well. The teacher used to have a magazine. It was for teachers, but it always had a little thing in there called I tried to think of the name of the dog, it's Letter. And the little dog wrote a letter to all the school children, which she used to read out to us every Friday. And Bob's Letter, that's what it was, Bob's Letter of Bob's Adventures during the week. And we thoroughly enjoyed that, Bob's Letter. And we, our teachers are the same, they were very good teachers. They didn't stand for nonsense. You behaved yourself, or you stood in the corner. The fire was in the corner over there, an open fire in the infant's room, and the tortoise stove in Mrs. Dowden's room. That's the two things that heated the school.
Yes.
And my mother used to clean the school in those days. And I used to come up when I got older with her, you know, and she cleaned the school. We had to make sure the scuttles were full of coke before we went home so that the teachers could stoke up during the day the fires. And you get the fire lit, and there was a gentleman used to live by that used to come across and light the fires. And it was an open fire then, with a guard round it. So if we had wet coats, she kindly put them round and dried them off for us before we went back home again, the teacher. We were, we had a table over here, and at break, if we paid a penny, we could have an OXO drink, a hot OXO drink, in the playtime. In the winter, not in the summer. In the winter we could have OXO if we wanted it. I can remember that OXO so well. It was lovely, a big mug of OXO for a penny. And we didn't have any school dinners as such then here. You could bring sandwiches if the weather was wet, but not anyone else. But we could just sit round and eat our sandwiches. But there was no school dinners, of course. Nothing like that at all. The children, the infants played out in that school, in the playground over there, that's this room. But the other children played upon the hill, opposite, above the farm. Yeah. We played up there in the playtime, or up through by the rectory. We went up through there to play. And then when we had to hear the bell, we had to belt back quickly, you know, to line up outside to march back into school again.
What games did you play?
Oh! Horses and hounds were our favourites, of course, well, so many were the huntsmen, so many were the horses, hounds, and oh, we used to play all through the gorse bushes up on the, across the road, and right across the top, and we had to, they had, the horsemen had to find us, you know, we were the prey, we were the foxes, and they were the horses and hounds. We used to love playing that. We also had a big skipping rope, which we put right across the road just outside here, because there wasn't the traffic in those days, and turn the rope and we'd turn, take turns to skip. And we played two ball up against the wall, and touch, and we also played, what's the time, Mr. Wolf, when you were the, you know, and you turned round and they were creeping up on you, you know, you had to catch them, and that's the sort of things we played, all quite innocent fun, you know, and games. We were quite, but the boys didn't join in as much. They played their football upon the hill. They took a ball at playtime and they stayed up there, but we played more or less down here or up the road. And it was quite a happy time until I was took the 11 plus. And I just missed out on the grammar school, but they said I could take another exam to go to the central school at Weymouth, which I took and I passed, and I ended up my school days at Cromwell Road. And there again, it was, as I say, very happy times. Miss Sharp was the headmistress at Cromwell Road, very nice but very, very strict. Today I wonder, because if we misbehaved quite badly, our teacher sent us to Miss Sharp. Well, Miss Sharp sat upon a desk in the hall, in the main hall. All the classrooms were off this hall, and the stairs down, one each end, and all the other classrooms. And we had to come and stand in front of Miss Sharp, who was writing away. She didn't look up, she didn't let you know she was there, we were there at all. And after about 5 minutes, which seemed like 25, she would say, "Stand still and stop fidgeting." I think, well, how did she know that? And then she would say, after a while she put her pen down, she'd say, stand there. Put your hands behind your back. Yes, Michelle. Stand up straight. And now, please to tell me why you have been sent here. Well, I think I'd rather have had a beating, I really do, than that awful standing in that hall with all the classrooms and everyone could see you there, and you felt about that high. And you stood there until she deigned to call you to her desk. And then you had to explain your misdemeanor.
Yes.
And then she would meet out what she thought was adequate punishment. You either miss play times for a couple of days, or if that was very bad. If it wasn't too bad, you miss one play time. But you were allowed to go to the toilet before you went back into class. That was all. No play. Yeah. Just straight there and straight back. And that was, that punishment, you know, was worse. And I think then we were more afraid of that than they would be today, I think.
Yes.
But Miss Sharp was a law unto herself. She was a wonderful teacher, wonderful headmistress, but she would not have any nonsense, none whatsoever. You were not allowed to run, you had to walk everywhere, even on the stairs. You could not run down the stairs to get out of school. You had to walk, everywhere walk. And she was, but she was a wonderful headmistress. The sad part was she died of cancer while I was still at school. She had to give up, and that was the end of the dear soul. But she was, and we had another headmistress, Miss MacPherson. She came, Scots lady, as you can imagine with her name. She was awfully strict as well, but she wasn't quite Miss Sharp, if you know what I mean. She was very, very good, but Miss Sharp, we were in awe, really in awe of Miss Sharp, yes, we were. And a word of praise from her, well, you went up to the ceiling, you know, if you had a word of praise. That was wonderful.
Yeah. What else do you remember about life in Upway?
Well, life in Upway was so different than life in Upway today. There were shops, which they aren't today. There was a little shop in Church Street, and another one, a grocer's shop in Elwell Street, plus a post office in Elwell Street, and also a coal merchant whose wife made and sold ice cream. Mm-hmm. She had a little shop place where you went in and got an ice cream. And the lady who lived next door, opposite the post office, did the telegrams. Any that came in, she got on a bicycle and delivered them all around the villages. Yes. That way on, Broadway. Miss Dunn was, Miss Corbin was the postmistress, but she got elderly, so Miss Alice Dunn, she took over more or less and she ran it. She was a very, very good postmistress, very good. And they had a sorting office next door where they sorted all the mail for the villages. They didn't go into Weymouth, and mail was sorted there, and the postman took, picked them up into the bags there. There were three postmen in the village then. Old Mr. Lovelace, poor old chap, he bent down like this, nearly double, and walked with a stick. And he walked all the way to Portisham, delivering the mail. Yes, and he couldn't stand upright. He was so bent, and he walked with two sticks. And my brothers used to mock him. Of course, you know what fellas are like. They say, here comes Neddy Lovelace. My mother got so cross, but she had to laugh. But he was one, and there was Mr. Scott, and there was a man on Broadway Hill. I'm trying to think of his name, it will come in a minute. He used to be, they used to be the three postmen. Yeah. And they would come over and pick up their mail, and then they each had their areas to deliver, you see.
Yes.
And we got, and we had two posts a day then. Mm-hmm. Morning post and afternoon post. And then now you see, the morning post comes in the afternoon now. You know what I mean? You never know when the time the post's coming.
Right.
And of course there was no vans. They had to walk everywhere. Or later on, I think they did bring a bicycle into it for the longer runs. But they had to walk all the way to Portisham and different places. They had long rounds to do. they really earn their money, poor men, especially when it's poor, especially near Christmas time. I can remember the bags were so heavy on their back they could not stand upright. They had to walk bent with all the Christmas cards and everything. It was, you know, it was. They really worked hard, those postmen. They didn't get in a van and drive around. But that was. Then they said the grocery shop was in Elvis Street. That was privately owned. And then we had the baker's shop on the top of Prospect Place. There again, that was a private baker. It was called Owen Baker, the baker. And he had a son, and he went into it, and he had two daughters. One, I think, still lives on the Dorchester Road. Another one lives away, Joan Baker and Katie. Katie still lives there, but Joan lives away. And he had Dick, the son. They had the baker's shop, and down the bottom of there was some market garden, bottom of Prospect Place.
Yes.
And the man there used to sell, or you know, supply the shops in Weymouth and all with greengrocery. Yes. And yeah, he had a great big market garden.
There are a lot of market gardens.
Oh, good gracious, there's
like
one in Elba Street as well. Yes. Yeah. Then there was one upon Ridgeway on the old Roman Road. The Burdens had that, Mr. and Mrs. Burden. They had a market garden there, and they used to do, they had a great big strawberry beds, and they used to supply whittles and everyone with strawberries all through the summer. Mm-hmm. And they used to pallet them all up, you know, and then they used to take them into town. He had a little van, used to take them into town to Weymouth, to whittles to sell. Or people locally could go and buy some if they wanted, you know. They had a big market garden. Yeah, they had strawberry cheese. And there was the watercress people down at Watery Lane. They used to have watercress beds down there. They used to sell watercress. We could buy cress from them. And there were several people in the village that ran market gardens. You know, there was another one in Church Street. What was their names? Mr. Christopher was one. He died. And then I tried to think of her name. It'll come to me in a minute. Dominies, they had her after that. And they ran it, it was in Church Street. I think it's still there now. I think it's still,
yes,
got it. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they had Market Garden there. So, of course, we used to pass all this on our way to school because we attended here, of course. Yes.
And the mill was very active then. The mill.
Oh, yes. We used to go and watch the wheel going round. One kiddie was killed there, you know. Fell in and drowned in the mill. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, a little girl. Yeah, it wasn't guarded as well as it is now.
Right.
And she fell in. Yeah, that was very sad. But yes, we used to call in round the mill to have a look at the wheel going round. Oh yes, the mill was very busy. We used to watch them taking the flour and that up into the granary place at the back.
Mm-hmm.
We used to have a thing come down to take it up.
A hoist.
Yeah. Yeah, that was really going that. And there used to be a river going all down Church Street then. Well, they've pavemented it over now. It used to be a river going all the way, right the way down through when I went to school.
Yes.
Yeah, there was a high wall this side where you up to Upley House, and then this side there was a river going all the way down, which we paddled in, which we shouldn't have been, mm-hmm, in our shoes. Mm-hmm. But we did used to paddle in. The river was... and of course the boys used to grab the girls' hats off and throw them in the river, you know what boys are like. I bet my brother was bad, ringleader, I expect. But that was a river going all along there when we were at school. Of course there wasn't much traffic then because it was just not there. And a lot of the roads, you see, even the main road wasn't made up out of the pavements either side. It was grass verges and stones and everything by where Miles Nursery is now, or down through there. It wasn't made up when we were children. It was just a high of grass verge off the road and just sort of chalky stones and rough path all along there. Yeah.
There were several people who said there were a lot of cows out on the roads.
Oh,
the time,
gosh, yeah.
Around.
They were always getting out, the cows, yeah. Oh, yeah. They were tinkers, they were. Oh yes, a lot of cows. And every year, of course, we used to have the hounds. They used to meet just outside of here, outside the school. Of course, that was a distraction before we were looking up at the window to see, because we could see the horsemen. Mm. And of course, our teachers used to get cross, you take what you're doing, you know. Mm. But they used to meet here and then go off all up over Gould's Hill and on out, you know, across the road, fox hunting. We used to have the meet, yes, every year we had that. But then we had fetes in the summer in the fields which were now built on the Dorchester Road between the Royal Oak and along that side of the road. It was all green fields then, and we used to have fetes and things and then. And of course it's been built on since, but when I was a child that's where we had the fetes. And also we used to, down at Westbrook House, they used to always have a fete and stalls and fancy dress and all this for the children. We used to have that once a year, but of course it's all died out now, none of that. I mean, and then of course children, when I was here at school, we used to put on school plays and, you know, do really good plays.
Can you remember some of the roles that you
had? Yes, I can remember being Alice in Alice Through the Looking Glass and Alice in Wonderland. We did the Mad Hatter's Tea Party from Alice in Wonderland. Mm-hmm. Oh yes, and we used to do it outdoors. We did it down at Westbrook for one of the fetes. We did the Alice. I had to have an Alice dress, you know, and drove Mother mad, I think. And I think one of my brothers was Dormouse, and we had to have all these. I think I got some photographs somewhere, but we had when we took them. When we were at school, different things we did. Yes, we did plays, and Christmas time we used to have carols, and we did all, you know, we didn't do it too near Christmas because it was too much of a distraction for the children, but we did, when it got nearer the holidays, we had to do this practice for all this, whatever we were doing for the parents. Oh yes, did all, yeah, quite a lot of acting went on. Mm. But it was well, I suppose didn't seem as though the children were as boisterous then as they are now. I don't know, we seemed to do quieter things like big skipping ropes and two ball on the wall of the toilets right there and all things like that. But there was no naughtiness going on then, I put it like that. No wrecking or being mischief, you know, not, you know, like they are some of them today. We wouldn't have dreamt of doing it. Well, for one thing, we were too terrified of our mothers. Because would we catch it when we got home if we'd misbehave in the village? You see, everyone knew everyone.
Yes.
So it was a disgrace if your children had let you down with neighbours.
Yes.
It was, oh, that's her children, that's her that did that. You see, in a village, that was a different ball game altogether, a different way of life. Very happy way of life, because if anyone was ill, everyone rallied round, took them a pudding and made a little egg custard, or ran in and got the shopping done for them. Or when we'd get home from school, mother would say, don't take your coat off because you're going out to Grace and get the shopping for Mrs. Someone because she's not very well. So off you go, and you dare not take anything for going because she'd go spare if you did that. If you can't do a good turn for people that are ill, then it's a bad job. So you will go. Of course, we came here also Sundays. We came here and had tuition in the school before we went on to church. We had Sunday school here, and then we formed up outside and marched to church. And we sat over the far side, all in rows, and the teacher sat with us, so we dared not misbehave. And we went, that's how we did. And then we came back in the afternoon and went to Sunday school again in the afternoon. And I always went to my grandparents to Sunday tea. They only lived two doors away, of course, as you do in the village. You all live on one another's laps. And then it was, they went to church in the evenings always, so it was, do you want to come on to church with us again tonight? So off I go again. So I must have been awful good. I was going three times a day. But what I liked on Sunday nights, I had sixpence to put in the collection. Well, a penny was the norm, but Granddad gave me sixpence. And it was put in my hand, and my fingers were closed on it. You know, don't you dare open your hand. Until the collection came round, and I was allowed to put it in. But I didn't want to get rid of that sixpence. I used to think, well, I could buy with that.
Could you buy with that?
Oh, what could you buy with sixpence in those days? The mind boggled, and I hated putting it in the collection. Wasn't that a nasty piece of work?
What could you buy for sixpence then?
Wow, for goodness sake, I mean, they used to get 5 woodbines for tuppence in those days. A little paper thing with 5 in. Tuppence, that used to be. 10 woodbines for sixpence, or something like that. And for a shilling, no, 11 pence halfpenny, that's right, you could get 20 players.
When did you start to smoke then?
Well, I didn't until I suppose I went in the Land Army, I think, because I was called up when I was 18, of course, as I was working. And of course, I was in the retail trade, and that was not considered vital, so I had to go. So I went into the Forestry Commission, and I worked for a firm in Poole, Vigers, their name were, and we had to do like clearing up after the cutters went on, cutting the prep props for the mines, and all the lopping. We had to get rid of all that brushwood, chop it all up, and have huge fires, more bigger than that, going in the heat of the summer, in Wellington boots, because of snakes, you see, we couldn't go. And the heat of those fires, plus the sun, it was a hot summer. My goodness, I was as brown as a gnat, I really was. And so I did my time then in the Land Army, doing this forest for the Forestry Commission, which was quite interesting. I was Wareham, and I was in Diggs in Wareham. I was at Puddletown first, but the Diggs in Puddletown left a lot to be desired, but there you go. Then we were moved to Wareham, to East Lowarth Estate, on the Weld Estate, and I had Diggs in Wareham, and that was a different story. I had lovely, lovely Diggs there. And I stayed there until I married in the Land Army. And then I went to Somerset to live. We went down to Street in Somerset because my husband had half his stomach taken away with ulcers. He couldn't go and he refused for the army, you see, to pass. So they had to go munitions. Well, part of Whitehead's went to Street in part of the Clark's factory. And we went to Street. I went to Street to live. But I was there for 2 years. I quite enjoyed that Street in Glastonbury. I was very happy down there. I like that. And we came back, and when we came back, I got a little cottage in Elbow Street. And I lived there until my daughter was, I suppose, 6 or 7. And then we moved to Wyke, but I was not a happy chappy in Wyke. I can't say that I was a Wyke Regis lover. I'm not. And now there's nowhere to go in Wyke. It was a dead end, you know. I didn't like it. And of course, I had a young child, and I couldn't take the car, there was no train, and I couldn't take a pram on the buses, so I had everyone to go away with, I had to walk. And that was not very clever, all uphill coming back. Yes. But so we were there then, as I said, for 6 or 7 years, I suppose, in Wyke, and my daughter went to school over there. She went to school here first, when we lived in Elbow Street. And then she went to school in Wyke. And then said I went to Radipole Lane to live, and I've been there ever since. And I lost my husband 16 years ago, so to cancer. So I've been on my own ever since. But I've got good family. My son lives out at Greenway Road, Redlands. My daughter lives at Charlestown. So they've got them both fairly near me, which is nice. I've got good grandchildren and great grandchildren, so what have I got to grumble about? Nothing. I'm very lucky, I've got good neighbours as well, so I'm very, very lucky. I can class myself lucky. I know we'd like my husband back, but then you can't do that, so you can't alter life, can you?
No.
Now, life's thrown quite a bit at me over the years, I don't mind telling you. I've not had it very easy, but you rise above it. You've just got to take it by the scruff of the neck and rise above it, and you can't let it get you down.
No. Well done.
No.
Thank you very much.
Here I am. So I've got my daughter here with me and my son-in-law, and they brought me out. They said, I know what you're going to say when I rang her up. She said, you coming over to lunch Sunday? I said, yes. She said, well, she said, Stuart, I'll meet you from church. I said, right. She said, I know exactly what you're going to say. We've already arranged it. We're taking you out to Upway this afternoon. Come at my old school. Because I was, say, born here, married at Upway Church up the road. My daughter was born, she was christened here, and my son, we were living, he was christened at Moyke. But this is, Upway's still my home as far as I'm concerned. I was born in that little cottage at the top of Earl Street with a thatch roof, it was the bottom of Roman Road, you know, that's where I was born.
Thank you.
So I am a real Upwayite.